Hi, welcome to Boss Chats. I'm Ellie.
I'm Jessica.
And we are Boss Lady Duo. You can follow me, Ellie, at The Ellie Way on Instagram.
And you can follow me, Jessica, at JessicaKim75 on Instagram.
You can follow us both at Boss Lady Duo on Instagram. You can also check out our webpage, which is www.lifeonpoint.org/BossLadyDuo for the mother-daughter duet of business.
Without further ado, let's get into our chat with this week's guest.
For all of our listeners, today we have on a wonderful couple and new parents. We have Colton and Michaela, who, if you guys don't remember, David and Stacy, their episode, a lot of the time they mentioned their wonderful son and daughter in love. So this is them. We're super honored to have them on our podcast. They are also independent business owners, and it's really fun. I'm excited that we get to talk with them. So thanks so much, guys, for coming on.
Absolutely. And I love the, you know, mother, daughter, and father, son, and all the family relationships.
all of the family.
So it works out good here.
Yeah. Yes, it's really great. So tell us a little bit about who you guys are and what you guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Colton.
And I'm Michaela, and we have our little Felicity with us today.
You might hear some pictures and clues here in a second. She's
3 months old.
It's really talkative.
So we're brand new parents, and we've been married for 5 years now.
Yeah.
And we are independent business owners. We work part-time, and we're full-time parents right now, too.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, we got married in 2015, and right after we got married, we both started a business together. I always had an entrepreneurial bent. I always wanted to work for myself, had a hard time hearing no, even from my parents. So I always definitely knew I was supposed to work for myself from an early age. And right after we got married, I told her our grocery budget was going to be like $75 per week, which as a single guy, I remember being like, $75 a week? How are we going to spend that much money on groceries? And she came home with about $200 worth of groceries. So I'm like, I need to make a lot more money. This whole, you know, like $75 ain't cutting it for this lady. So I knew my entrepreneurial ventures had to work out, and they did. So yeah, we started a business at 21 years old back in 2015. So now we're 26 and financially independent and awesome parents to an awesome little young lady here.
Cute. She's so adorable.
For all of our listeners who aren't actually seeing what's going on, she is the cutest little. Oh my goodness.
She's
so yeah, so you guys are new parents. So like, how has that been? Like having a business, balancing being very new parents, firstborn child, and being a young couple. Like, how has that all been going? And in quarantine.
It's been going really good.
And in quarantine. Pandemics flying through. She's one of those corona babies. She's right in the middle of it all. So there's masks and everything at the hospital. It's quite the place.
Well, thankfully, we heavily rely on the internet for our business anyways.
Yeah.
And so we can work from home, really, and still have income coming in, whether we're showing up to meetings online or whatever or not. It's been really nice because we have established a business so that we can choose the hours. We're in control. We're not like someone who's not in control of their hours. We get to choose when we work, when we don't work, and who we're working with. So having that power and that control is a huge benefit because we get to choose who we work with and all of that time that we spend together.
I always tell people, I'm like, man, being an entrepreneur definitely has its advantages and disadvantages. There's things that are harder. There's things you have to sacrifice that other people don't. Sometimes you sacrifice the 9 to 5 for the nine to the other five. There's definitely some sacrifices that come along with it. But one of the huge advantages is you are your own boss. So when she was being born, I wasn't really thinking about, anything that was going on with our business. We were able to kind of run it from where we were. I remember at the hospital, one of the nurses, because we run, it's all online. So the nurse was like, how's y'all's business doing? And I was like, it's honestly never been better. It's all internet based. And she goes, oh yeah, absolutely. Then no wonder it's doing so good. Cause it's a little bit, you know, easier on the recession part there, but yeah, it's a blast. We love being new parents, and we're kind of like, we started this call here. I said, we are in parent land for sure. And fully there. Absolutely.
Best place to be. What is your guys' favorite part of being your own boss, and how has it changed your guys' life?
Oh, man. I wouldn't say we don't have a boss. It's more that just she's the boss. I just changed the way that it looked. No, I love being able to work for myself and picking my own hours, having the flexibility and the freedom to do what we need to do when we need to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's fun working together because we're a team, so we can help each other out. Or if he wants to go on a business trip, then I can be now watching the house, or I can go with him. Like, we get to choose. It's really about the freedom that we're able to experience now at a young age.
There she is.
The freedom to just have fun and experience life. And we've been able to see a lot of the world because of running our own business.
It is hard though, you know, like being, you know, young. I always tell people, like, when you're dating, usually you start dating your friends. So you start out, you have this friendship relationship, you're good friends, and you're catering to the fact that you're new friends. And then you start dating. Now there's this romantic piece, and there's kind of the oohs and ahs and, you know, the woo factors, and you go out to dinner and do all the stuff. And then also when you get married, it's like, oh man, now not only we have a friendship relationship, we have a romantic relationship, but now we're also roommates. And how do you do with the dishes? And how do you do with, you know, how clean, what level of cleanliness are you okay with? And now you're managing your checkbooks together. And what's your, how do you handle finances? And what level of comfortability do you have in the savings account and with your personal finances? Then you start a business on top of that. That's a whole new level of managing expectations and communication. And we just grew up a lot faster, I think. I know we started at 21. And I think by the time I was 23, people that knew me at 21, that I didn't have a lot of communication with there, didn't actually recognize me at 23. Just because I changed so much, like physically, the way I talked, the way I handled things, because there was so much out, like I was thinking about, I grew so much. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is by a guy named Jim Rohn. He says, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. And that was like my mantra for my first 2 years of business. Those first 2 years, if you're an entrepreneur, you're starting a business, I don't care what kind of business you are, if it's internet-based or you're doing a drop shipping thing or you're starting an info, whatever, you start a podcast, you know, whatever you're doing, those first 2 years are tough. And you grow so much. But I think the biggest thing is people are always like, why isn't this easier? And this software should work better. And, you know, why is it not upload better? And like, whatever it is. Don't wish it was easier. Just become better. Because once you become better, it becomes easier. Right? Mm-hmm. I think people hear us talk today and they're like, oh, they make it sound so easy. And I'm like, it's not that it's easier. It's just we continue to get better and stronger. And, you know, I think that's the thing, is just every year you continue to get better. Entrepreneurialism, you just end up in this position where you're not stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again. Every day looks a little different. It forces you to grow. Yeah. It forces you to become better.
We had opportunities to speak publicly, and I had never done that before, like outside of maybe a classroom in school. And so I really got to face the fear of public speaking. And I remember the first time when I spoke in front of a couple hundred people, I was freaking out. I was mean to Colton. I was crying. I'm not really a crier.
No, so. I've only seen her cry like twice in her marriage, and one of them was not when the baby was being born. Shows you how scary the public speaking thing was. It was like 300 people that had come to hear us speak, and she's like, you know, backstage like bawling. I'm like, you can do it, I promise. And she's like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, you can do it. I'm not doing it. You can do it.
You can do it by yourself, babe. I'm good.
Like, you were getting on that stage with me, and because I knew it was fear, and you can't let fear dictate your decisions.
And I was so thankful for the opportunity, because since then I haven't had a fear of public speaking. And it's so cool. That's an opportunity when you're growing in the business world or whatever world you're growing in and learning, people want to hear from you and learn from you. And so I learned that I had something to offer the world, and I could do it, even though it was something that was scary to me. It's something that once I chose to do it and step out and share and pour into others, then it's life-changing.
Yeah. So 5,000 people at once.
Yeah, I've spoken a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, because so we went from 200 to then, like, what, the last, like, 20,000 or something like that? I'm like, 200 to 20,000. And you weren't crying when you did the 20,000.
No, actually, backstage, she was dancing. I was the one crying. She had her shoes off, and she was, like, totally dancing all the music backstage. And I'm like, I'm going to go throw up. Where's the nearest bathroom? Because I'm not going to find it in time. You know?
Oh, man. Well, that kind of leads me into the next question, which is, what did you guys both need to learn to work? Basically, what did you both need to learn to work together and to continue to persevere through persevere through difficulties and then become successful at what you do in your life? Like, how did that all kind of, how did that all transpire?
Yep.
And what did you really need to learn in
One
all
of
that?
The things we really needed to learn was communication and how to manage expectations between each other as a couple. Working together was a brand new thing for us when we got married. And so it's like, how do we manage that and communicate? Oh, I'm doing a meeting at this time. Can you be there too? Or just learning to communicate the different roles that we had and expectations was really important.
Yeah.
She's talking.
She came at a young age.
Yeah, she's getting that right quick.
Yeah. Her first podcast.
Man, she beat me to the punch. Took me 26 years. She's on 3 months, man. Yeah, I mean, there's so many skills along the way. I mean, that again, it's more of like when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, it's less like what you're going to learn, because there's just so much you're going to learn. Yeah. Like you like, I remember my very first stuff, I didn't know time management skills at all. Remember, like, because before I was single, before I started a business at all, it was like, I was only accountable to myself, and my only things on my schedule were like movie nights with friends. So I'd be like, oh, okay, Thursday night, I got something like all of Thursday nights now blocked off in my mind. And that was it. That was my time management skill, was just all mental. Here's what I'm doing, what. And I remember like I missed a meeting. I remember like we were 2 months in the business and I missed a meeting entirely. And the person was upset for obvious reasons. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have people that depend on me. I got my first calendar. Remember, I got my very first one. I was like, oh man, it's like a legit like paper calendar you write on, and the whole bit. Cause I was like, I cannot miss meetings. I need to be accountable to that. So like time management was a skill and things along the way. But I think just continuing to have that mindset of continuing to grow and whatever comes up, deciding that you're going to overcome. Mikhail and I say most things come down to first a decision, that if you just decide it's going to happen no matter what, it's going to work. If there's hesitation, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But you have to make that decision first. And if you have that decision, you're going to be in good shape. We always say decision, ownership, that you have to own what's going to happen. It's not somebody else's thing. It's your thing. Most people come into this with such an employee mindset. And by this, I mean any kind of business you're starting. They're raised to be an employee. They go to 12 years of employee school. Some of them file for 4-year extensions on how to be a great employee. And then now they want to become an entrepreneur. It's like you need to have a different set of a whole different mindset about how you're going to do it. And the number one thing is you got to own everything.
Yeah.
Not just even the stuff you're responsible for. Every single piece of it is your fault. You have to own it 100%, and then overcome and just decide you're going to overcome whatever happens. And through that process, you're going to learn what you were missing and what you need to get better at. Some things you need to hire out. Some things you need to automate with software. There's things I'm like, oh man, I used to do so much myself that I was really weak in. And sometimes instead of working on your weaknesses, you can capitalize on them by finding software that can help you or people that can help you to overcome what you're weak in.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not about getting great at the free throw or dribbling with your left hand. Sometimes it's about capitalizing what you are really good at and going all in on your skill sets. And
yeah, and that's another thing too, when you just talk about not only capitalizing on what you're good at, but we work in teams too. And so finding the golden people, what are they gifted at? What is something that they're maybe bent towards naturally? And how do we capitalize that and help them to capitalize on those skills as well? It's really helpful for a team. Yeah, you tell them.
She has something to say. She's like, I have stuff to tell you.
Listen to me. My words are important.
I have a voice. Let my voice be heard.
She's probably going to be a talker if she's with her parents at all.
Most girls are. I know that you guys also spend a lot of time, because I just know you guys really well. I know you guys do spend a lot of time in personal development and self-development. What are some of the things that you do to really, especially because you started so young, what were some of the things that you did that really developed, you know, your personal self?
But, you know, the biggest thing for me is finding systems. I'm really good in systems and I'm really bad when I'm not. And I don't think I'm unique as a human being in that. So when I have a good rhythm, when I have a good system, I'm in good shape. So for me, it became always listening to audio every single morning. And for me, it's the shower time. I got like a waterproof speaker thingamajigger that's Bluetooth, whatever. So you can have it like right next to your shower and it doesn't go down. But like, I listen to an audio every day when I'm getting ready. Something's going into my brain because the world's going to brainwash you. You go out, there's Facebook and Fox News and CNN and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's coming at you from every different angle and putting stuff on you that is brainwashing you. I mean, we are brainwashed every single day to think certain things and to believe certain things and to operate certain ways. And you need to counteract that with your own brainwashing. So for me, it became a very essential ingredient that I didn't go out like a leaf blown in the wind into the world, but I went out with a purpose because I'd already set my mind on where I was going for the day with an audio in the morning. And then I'm pretty old school. I like to read. So for me, it's reading at night. I always got a pretty thick stack of books near me at any given time. So always have books accessible. I have one on my nightstand all the time, if not 10 of them, with a light there, because I know if the book's not on my nightstand before I go to bed at night, I'm not going to read. So I bookend my day reading at night, audios in the morning. And you kind of get a system in place. Find something that works for you though. Maybe yours is you got a lunch break and you got 30 minutes there. Or you got time, but make sure it's on your schedule. If it's not on your calendar, it's not a priority. If it's not a priority, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And it's super easy for it to be, oh, I missed it tonight, and then I'll miss it this week, and then I'll miss it a month, and then I'll, you know, oh, it's been a year since I've actually read a book. And most people haven't read a book since they left college or high school. Mm-hmm. So just make sure, like, even if it's 10 minutes, yeah, read 10 minutes. If it's 20 minutes, read 20 minutes. If it's 5 minutes, read for 5 minutes. But start to build up those inner habits, because it's a lot more about trajectory and where you're going than it is about where you're currently starting at or or anything else. And that growth curve comes down to just doing something today. And that you start to build up faster and faster and faster. Now you also need to read a book a week, you know, or you're my sister. My sister reads a book a day. Truly, she's an excellent reader. She runs a book review company though now, and she's pretty on it. But yeah, she's a book a day. So reading those is an essential ingredient to personal development. I hear a lot of people just watch YouTube videos or just do stuff. I think reading is an essential ingredient in that. Make sure you get those pieces in.
When I remember when we first got started with this business, I was also delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to spend that time in the car when I was delivering, listening to audiobooks. And so I remember I listened to one specific book over and over again for like several weeks in a row. And it was more of the idea of me kind of memorizing it and infiltrating the thoughts that were in the book into my mind and learning from that, just the one skill. And sometimes you try and learn on... just a second. Hey, baby. Sometimes we try and learn so many different things at once, and it's important to be able to focus on maybe one skill at a time or one concept and really have that ingrained and learn it before you move on to another concept when you're doing your personal development. But that was really helpful for me because I, like Colton's talking about, I brainwashed myself to understand and really capture the thoughts of that and the essence of that book.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful for me.
And then finding new groups too. Like when I started, I wasn't around very many people that like personal development. And I worked at Outback Steakhouse, and most of my buddies there like hadn't read a book since high school, or you know, some of them didn't even read in high school. So you know, that it's important to maybe sometimes create new circles or find new circles and really seek out people that are learning and growing. One question I asked a lot of my new friends is, what have you read in the last 6 months that challenges the way you think? So asking people questions about what are they reading and what do they like to read.
And we also attended a lot of conferences that taught us different skills as well. So we invested heavily.
Yeah.
Like once a year, we would go to one event, or either for our business or for marriage at least, where it's like really investing into us, where we're doing workshops and working on something so that when we come home, we're different people and we've grown exponentially. Sometimes it's hard to see the amount of growth that you do over the course of a year, but over a weekend it's like, oh man, that was so powerful, and it jump starts you back into the growth that you, maybe if you've been stagnant for a while.
Hey, Grant Cardone, if you guys don't know, stuff out there as well, but Grant says there's not really a commitment if you don't have time and money involved. And I think anything has to have that kind of a commitment to it as well. If you're gonna have a new change in your life, if you don't have time and money involved in it, invested in it, it's not going to work out. So you have to be fully committed. Fully committed means time and money. Every time I'm going to start something new, I'm like, I got to put money into this. I got to put money into my new education for this new thing. Or you got to put money involved. So make sure you're – and not just in the actual, like, here's my business license and here's this and here's that and here's the software. But you got to put money into you to make sure you're sharp enough and on the ball to stick with it, make it happen.
Yeah, that's really good. Was there anything that you wish you would have known about the business world before you got into it?
It's hard.
I attest to that.
It's not easy. I think I kind of had an idea for it. It's like you start out mountain climbing or something. You're like, oh,
it's going to be great.
We're going to get to that peak. Yeah. The peak looks smaller from the bottom than it does about the middle way through. you get to the middle and you're like, where's that gosh darn peak that, you know, I saw when I was back on the ground. I saw it back there. It's hard. I mean, yeah. don't let anybody make you think it's going to be easy or it's overnight or it's going to be this. Everybody pays the same price tag for success.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard, there's an old Barry Manilow song I've played a lot, which, you know, I know I'm 26, but I love Barry Manilow.
Really?
Yeah. the song I Made It Through the Rain. And man, I used to listen to that song because he talks about like, I made it through the rain and now I'm recognized by other people that also made it through the rain. And whenever you see successful people, you know, they paid a price tag to get there. Yeah. Some of them paid it when they were little, you know, or younger kids. Like I had great parents that they raised me with a lot of discipline and a lot of structure and a lot of drive. And they, a lot of like questions that I didn't just like accept what my teachers told me, but they allowed me to critically think for myself and really come to my own conclusions on stuff. That was a price tag I had to pay as a kid that some people have to pay in their 20s. I had to pay it earlier than other people did. But everybody has to pay the same price tags for success. And, you know, when you go into those hard times, recognizing like, this is what it takes to be successful. If I want the better things out of life, I got to work harder than those that won't have it. And I think, you know, business is hard. It really is. I don't care what you're doing. It's hard. And if you're going to succeed, you got to put in the work and you got to put in the time, you got to put in the energy. That's the biggest thing. It's not even just the amount of time. Some people are willing to commit the time, but the heart that it takes. You know, you suffer a disappointment, you got to put yourself back out there. You suffer another disappointment, you got to learn to discipline those disappointments, to not let them take over the rest of your world and all your emotions get swayed every single place because of one thing that happens. Now you're in a tornado of emotion. You got to learn to put that, like, not shove it down, repress it, but like be able to deal with it at an appropriate time and put it in its proper place and discipline that to be over here. And it doesn't get to go into your hope section. You know, the disappointment stays right here. It doesn't overwhelm the hope box in your heart. It stays in this box, and your disappointment you're gonna stay right here, and you're not gonna infect my hope section, because sometimes it can, and all of a sudden this one person says something or this thing happens or this didn't go through in the way you thought it was going to, and now you're hurt and you're disappointed and it's hard for you to get you back out there. You got to discipline those disappointments and put them in a box and like, no, this is hard and I can do hard things. I have the ability to do something hard, and this is hard, and I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna make it happen. And I'm going to have what others won't have, because most people would not be willing to overcome this disappointment I just went through. And you are. And that's why you're going to be successful.
That's really good.
That's so good.
But it was worth it, right? You guys.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. The peak is so worth it. You get the money coming and you're like, oh, wow. Like, and once it comes, man, once you figure out the skills, it comes frequently and abundantly and beyond what you can imagine. It comes so fast. You wonder where it was when it wasn't there. You know? Yeah. I'm like, you know, like the checks just start coming. You're like, wow, where does money come from? Like you have options, you have abundance. Like I got my dream car a couple years ago. It was a blast. Like we had the top down cruising around, and I'm like, how fun is this? And I'm like, man, what was it like a year ago? Like I'm like trying to figure out where rent money's coming from, and you know, you're like, when it comes, it just happens so fast. But you got to get to that point. You got to build it up, and it takes heart. It takes the ability to look at yourself and make it happen. But, oh, options. I mean, life comes down to options, and money's options. So yep. If you got options and you got money, you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. You can take off and be full-time parents and love on your little Felicity anytime you want.
Yeah, and for the listeners, Colton is both Eliana and our mentors in the business that we do. And so we are looking forward to that peak. We're like trudging our way like the little engine that could, you know.
You got it.
It may take us a little bit longer than it took him, but we're going to keep going.
No, you got it, man. Absolutely. And so, again, you're willing to do what other people wouldn't be willing to do. Like you look at, you know, like what, you know, you're
the commitment
in Bakersfield, California. You're, you know, it's a new spot. You know, for those that don't know, they're pioneering a new business in Bakersfield. You know, some people have the privilege and the ability that they have an area that's already pretty well pioneered and set up and established, and they're pioneering a new area. Pioneers always take the most arrows, but they also take the most land.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that gain. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I have a question about that actually. So
bring it.
When you were in Reading doing the business, when you first started, were you pioneering that area, or was that kind of already built out for you?
No, there, same boat.
The only other people that were connected to us as far as the type, like building a business, were our mentors.
Yeah.
They were Colton's parents.
My parents, they mentored us as well. And then they moved to Houston, Texas. So
right as you started. So you know, there's nobody.
I got a picture saved on my phone in my favorite section. It's the picture of them driving away the day we started our business. The day we launched, like, we're like, all right, we're ready to do this thing. It's gonna happen. We're gonna make it happen. And then, like, here's them pulling out of our driveway to move to Houston, Texas. Which, for those of you guys that don't have a map, Redding, California is probably northwest of the country, and Houston, Texas is not.
No, it is not.
You were like, thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
Yeah. Well, they knew. I mean, anytime you start a business, nobody else can do the push-ups for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Weight loss or anything worth doing, you got to do your own push-ups. Your personal trainer can yell and coach and tell you what to do, but...
Put the pizza down,
but at the end of the day, only one person can do the push-ups. So whether they were there or they weren't there, we were doing them, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We pioneered Redding for sure.
So what was the most valuable lesson you've learned through your own, having your own business?
Man. So many valuable lessons along the way. My favorite quote, I'm going to stick with it. The Jim Rohn, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Mm-hmm. That was a hard fought thing that I found, you know, I mean, it's an easy thing. It's easy to absorb, but man, when you're going through it, that's a tough thing. So don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Become better. Become stronger. Don't wish the problems are smaller. You know, that was a huge, 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 like that's a multi-encompassing lesson that we had there. That's like so many facets to it and pieces, but definitely every step of the way, just don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Become stronger. You know, when you come up against the hard stuff, you have two options. You can either stop doing it or you can get stronger. And just the more times you pick stronger, you're just going to be stronger. And I think like those are, whether, you know, we had stuff where it's like come up and you're like, oh yeah, we should set aside money for taxes. That's a good idea. You know, you're like, that's a good lesson. And it's a very intimidating thing to learn. And, you know, you all together and you're like, oh, okay, wow, these are really good things to learn.
Yeah.
In the beginning, like if I'd have told myself, it's like having a baby, you know, like we had a baby because of all the cooches and coos and, oh my gosh, we're going to have a baby. Your How smile. Cute is that? Yeah. But then, like, when people are pitching having babies, they're not pitching, like, changing all the diapers and all the things that happen along the way and all the sleepless nights. And
that they could skid their knees when they're learning to walk, all of the little things.
Yeah. But you have the baby because of the oohs and ahs. So you start a business because of the oohs and ahs and what you're going to get. And you end up with diapers along the way. You end up with some sticky times and some, like, why is she still crying moments. does she know anything but tears?
Yep.
But then you know you're like, hey, this is totally worth it. You have moments that are totally worth it, and this is a good moment here. So
she looks like she fell asleep.
Yeah, she's out like a little light.
We should enjoy our time together. Yeah. For me, one of the biggest things that I learned is it's really important to push through your fears. Mm. It kind of goes along with what Cole's talking about, but if you choose to not push past the fears or act despite the fear, then that fear is actually going to be your cage, your kennel, your jail. It's going to be your limit. And that's as far, if you're only willing to go so far, then that's going to stop you. So whether that applies to business or your relationships, if you're like interested in someone and you're deciding, do I want to marry this person or not? If you're afraid of, well, some people get divorced and some people have issues in their marriage, and you let all that fear stop you from moving forward, then that's going to stop you from possibly experiencing the best thing that could have ever happened, the best relationship you could ever experience. Applies to a lot of different things. And I recognize it's interesting. I've become more aware of like when fear is stopping me. I'm like, oh, do I really want to allow that to be my limitation? And sometimes I think, yeah, that I'm not ready to push through that. But then eventually I can't move on until I've pushed through it and grown and become better through that process.
You guys didn't know you were getting marriage advice here, did you?
Well, you know, I have been married for 23 years, so.
Eliana, you got some dating advice there? What's up?
Actually, 21 years. I should take that back. Not 23. I'm trying to make it longer.
Add some numbers on
it's
there.
It's been so wonderful. I'm saying it's 23 years.
Yeah. I mean, I love when we have guests on that talk about marriage and all that stuff, because then it's like, in my head, it's like, yes, I need to, you know, I like what you're saying about that is like, don't wish it was easier, you know, wish you were better, because I'm like going through that phase right now where it's just like everything sucks. And so I'm just like, God, I wish things were easier. But I like, just like Michaela was saying, like having to push past that fear and push past that, like, that freaking speed bump that's like so much worse than you thought it was. It's just yep. like, oh, okay. Like once you get over it, it's going to get better. And
yeah.
it may not get easier, but it's going to get better.
Right.
So,
yes.
And it really does eventually get easier. Like you'll look back and you're like, ah, oh. Like when you're in kindergarten, like walking looks really easy because you're dealing with a different set of problems, you know, and also you get to high school, like when you're like learning math and they're teaching addition, subtraction, like by the time they move on to multiplication, division, you're like, wow, addition, subtraction was super simple. Why did I struggle so much? You know, and now you're moving on to algebra and you're like, why was I complaining about multiplication? You know, like each stage along the way, the past stage looks a little easier. And it's not that the problems got easier, it's that you got better. And life just continues like that as long as you continue growing and take on the next class, whatever that looks like, and the next problems. And
yeah.
You look back and you're like, wow. Like I look back on a season I was washing dishes and I hated being a dishwasher. I was a dishwasher at Cattleman Steakhouse. And I always came home and I had like butter caked up to my elbows and it was tough. And I look back and I'm like, man, like things that I thought were so hard. Like I remember like everything felt so hard and so weighted and difficult. And I started this like hot dog cart in that time. And so I had like this, I was washing dishes. I had a hot dog cart. I was going to ministry school. I was trying to date her and figure, I was like, oh, everything felt just so difficult. And I look back and I'm like, oh man, I didn't even have a quarter of the problems I have today. But it's not that, it's just things changed and the way yeah. that you handle them changed. You just grow and become stronger and it's all good. Those are good things.
So in light of the pandemic and the many other things that are happening, where do you see the business world going?
Oh man. Well, I definitely think online. I mean, I've referenced it a couple times. If you're starting a physical store business, this is a bit of a rough time for it. Yeah. If you're starting brick and mortar, that's just a lot of liability. Not saying you can't do it. I'm not trying to, you know, poo-poo on your dreams here, but I definitely think the world has shifted online. And I don't think it's shifting back to the degree that it once was.
Oh my gosh. Like being a new mom, I'm ordering my groceries and having them delivered and under the like everyone's calling it contactless. Delivery, whether it's food or groceries. And so the convenience of that, it's like, there's no way that's going to go away.
No.
People might still want to go out to eat at a restaurant, but that's more like a novelty versus like, okay, well, we're tired. We don't want to get dressed up to go out again. We're home. Okay. Done for the day. Let's just have something dropped off.
Yeah.
The convenience is something that people are willing to pay for no matter what. So I see that continuing to grow. I see the internet growing for sure, but people still need, and they have a desire and the needs for contact and for connection. And so if you can learn to create that through your business online via Zoom or via different platforms, that is something that will really help your boost your business is connecting, making those connections and building relationships.
Yeah. I think any business based on relationships where you have human connections involved, that's just going to grow because people are starving for that right now. I mean, I went to the bank just a little bit ago. I was just coming back from the bank right before our call here. And man, there was a guy at the bank, God help him. He like he locked eyes with me. And then that was like the end of like, it was like a 30-minute conversation. I was like, literally they were calling me into the bank because it was like the line was out front. And I'm like, all right, bye. And he's like still finishing up his stories. Like, I'm like, that dude was starving. Like somebody that hasn't eaten for 3 weeks would be starving for food. He's starving for human connection. He seemed like a normal dude. Like he didn't have mental issues, but I think everybody has mental issues right now. Everyone is dying for human connection. So if you have some kind of a way to make that connection where you solve someone's problem, someone has a problem right now, they don't have enough human connections. You can make people feel known, feel seen, feel loved in a way that, you know, you can also monetize and make it a business around it. I mean,
building them up.
I know what that would look like, but I know Zoom right now, their stock's never been higher. And they've made this happen. They make everything, you know, it's the Zoom changed the world, or the world changed Zoom or whatever. It met a need that the world had with a business that they already had connected. So they've made human connections possible on a grand scale. They've made, a lot of things happen. So I think anytime you can have a business that operates like that, anything that operates based on software technology that brings people closer together, I think you're going to be in good shape with that. Just any kind of business that involves people, you know, it's always been about people, but I think it kind of got away and they're like, oh, it's about this. And I'm like, no, I mean, and when everything was stripped away, the businesses that had the least backing behind them, that had the least stuff going on, Nike became very competitive with everybody else because they didn't have the big stores, the big stuff, and they could shove it down your throat. It was like, hey, who are my friends on Facebook and who's this and who's that? And it became a different world. Yeah. Like literally our business boomed. I looked around, I'm like, wow, our stuff shot up because you know, all of our stuff is internet-based, and it's based on community and connections, and we were already doing it, so I think it's just the right time, right place, but anything you can do based on the internet, for sure, technology, and then human relationships, those are, people are going to be starving for that, like, people are going to be like, take my money, if you have some way of making human connections happen. Yeah.
There's something about people power where people really want the referrals of their friends and their families, and they want to live life together and live life to the fullest and the best. And like, what is the product or service that's going to help me in my life? Well, yeah. Using that people power really is something that you can utilize today online or however you can to communicate over the phone, that really can build up your business.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and for sharing with us your wealth of wisdom. We really appreciate you guys coming on, and we appreciate your time. Where can people follow you and all that stuff?
What are your plugs? Away.
Yeah. Oh, I'm on Instagram. It's Colton Whited.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook, Instagram, Colton Whited and Michaela Whited.
Yep.
Pretty easy to find. So
that's pretty awesome. The basics.
Yeah, everything's like first last name. I'm the Blue Dragon or
no streamline.
Very easy to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything first last name. Easy, easy peasy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys.
I just want everyone to know that there is hope. If you're going to go after a project or a business or whatever it is, that there is hope. There's always opportunity. With change comes opportunity. The world is changing right now. There's a lot of uncertainty, but you can still continue to pour. There's no certainty in life, whether things are still or turbulent like they are right now. There's something that you can do now to affect people for the better and bless them by adding value to the marketplace and adding value to your friends and family.
There are more millionaires and billionaires that are going to come out of this season right here than probably any time ever in history.
Yep.
And there'll probably be more people that lose jobs and things that happen and they just don't see the opportunity in it. So if you can see the opportunity in the mix of difficulty, that's the best time to raise yourself up on the economic ladder for sure. And when you look at the Great Depression or any other time where things have a massive shift, that's the time to shift up, and that we're in the middle of that right now.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it. Don't miss out on this wave.
Adapt and grow.
That's really great advice. Really amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to.
Thank you to this week's guest as well for coming on. We so appreciate your time and your generosity and sharing your knowledge and wisdom. Please be sure to check out the show notes for all of the social handles, business information, and any additional information provided during our commercial breaks.
Thank you again for listening, and we'll chat soon.
Balsa Yaduo signing off. Bye now.